to believe in Him. Well, sometimes we think, well, that just means that I was baptized as an infant, so therefore I believe in Him. Or I went through a class where I was taught about the doctrines of the church and the doctrines and beliefs of my particular church, so therefore I believe in Him. Or I'm a good person and I do good things. I'm not violent. I'm kind to people. I'm compassionate to people. So therefore I must believe in Him. But what Jesus is talking about is more than mental assent. It is more than taking a religion class. It is more than being a good person. It is more than being baptized. It is more than just acknowledging that there is a God. Oftentimes, in fact, this afternoon, I have a service for a family that I don't know, and I don't know the deceased. But in talking to her sister this past week, one of the things she said to me was, you know, she was spiritual but not religious. And I hear that so often. Spiritual but not religious. And that simply means, as I press a little further, it simply means they were a good person. They were kind. They were compassionate. They were loving. They were a great father, a great parent, a great spouse, a great sibling. And they affected many people. They had a good work ethic, and they did a lot of good things. They were involved in their community. They gave of them their time. But Jesus did not say that equals believing in Him. Those are all good deeds, all good attributes. But when Jesus is using that word believe, the actual Greek word means that whosoever entrusts, commits to Him. It is more than just being a good person. It is more than just being religious. It's more than just going to a worship service. It is a commitment of our lives. It is an entrusting of our lives to Him. It is Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. It is Paul being willing to be beaten and imprisoned and eventually beheaded. It is Stephen being stoned to death in the book of Acts. It is, if you go back to the Old Testament, their entrusting and believing was not so much in Jesus as it was in God, but it being willing to do whatever was necessary. It is a commitment of our lives. James chapter 2, verse 19, James writes and he says, "You believe that there is one God and that is good, and yet even the demons believe that and they shudder." So just believing in Him, just giving mental assent to Him, just trying to live a good life is not what Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about. What He is talking about to Nicodemus about is that person who fully commits their life to Him, who fully entrusts Him with their life, who makes a decision that I am all in. Now, how do we get to that place? Because I certainly believe the Scripture tells us that there is a process that brings us to that place where we believe, where we commit, where we entrust ourselves to Him. And it begins with this, the recognition that I need a Savior. And that is the most difficult part for we humans to make. Because we believe that my life, as Phil said, is my life. And it's for me to decide what I want to do, and it's for me to set the parameters, and it's for me to make the decisions. Because after all, my role is to make myself happy and to make sure that my needs are met, and I have what I want, and I have it when I want it, how I want it, where I want it, and when I want it. And if I don't look out for myself, no one else is going to. And so we have a tendency in that to begin to compare my life with the life of someone else. Well, I'm as good as they are. In fact, I'm better than a lot of people that go to church. I'm as good as that person. Who has the right to tell me that I'm not a good person? Well, God reserves that right to tell us that we need a Savior. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, asks this question, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Jesus referred to that when they brought to him, the religious leaders brought to him the woman caught in the act of adultery. And they say to Jesus, the law said, Moses said, she should be stoned. What do you say? And remember what Jesus said. He said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Now these people, these men who had brought this woman, were considered to be the most pious, the most religious, the closest to God that you could come and still be human. And yet after Jesus makes that statement, John tells us that they all began to walk away, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest, because they recognize that there is no one who could say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin. Paul said this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. There is no one who can say, I've never sinned. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So John says the person who says, I am without sin, out of their own efforts, their own work, their own achievements, John essentially says, they're lying. They're not telling the truth. That's a falsehood. That's a deception. We need a Savior. And secondly, the second thing that brings us to that place of committal and entrusting ourselves is the realization, not only that I need a Savior, but I cannot save myself by my own works and by my own activities. That there is nothing that I can do. My very best effort, my very best striving, my very best work at being good enough to stand before God is not enough. Isaiah 53 said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. Isaiah later wrote in chapter 64, verse 6, he says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are as rags. The very best that I can do, the very best effort that I can put forth, the very best that I can try in the sight of God is not enough. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Now that was written by the Apostle Paul, who tells us later in the book of Philippians that when it came to the law, I was blameless. I was zealous for God. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was as religious and pious and holy as a man could be. And yet Paul said, Christ came to save sinners and I was the worst. What hope is there for us if the Apostle Paul, who could tell us that he always kept the law, that he was zealous for the law, that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, could turn around and say, and yet in spite of all of that, I was the worst of sinners. Well, then we would have to say, there is no hope for me. There is no hope for any of us. None of us can say, as far as it pertains to being good, I am always good. As far as pertaining to telling the truth, I always tell the truth. As far as it pertains to keeping my temper, I always keep my temper. As far as it pertains to patience, I always keep my patience, no matter what those dumb people are doing in the gas line at Costco. No matter what those people who get in the line at Publix that says 10 items or less, and I count their items and they have at least 20. None of us can stand before a holy God and say, I am clean of my own effort. I've done it all. And so that brings us to the next point of what brings me to the place of fully entrusting Christ and committing my life to Him is the recognition that, first of all, I need a Savior. Secondly, that my best efforts, my best activities are not enough. And thirdly, that Jesus is the Savior that I need. In the book of Luke, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse, the angels pronounce or announce to the shepherds, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. John chapter 3, verse 17, we read it a little earlier today. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter wrote, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Christ came to bring you and me to God. He came as the righteous, and He came seeking the unrighteous. He came as the pure, and He came seeking the unpure, the impure. He came as the holy, and He came seeking those who were unholy. He came as the perfect begotten Son of God, seeking those who, because of Adam's sin, had lost relationship with God. I need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior that I need. I've been reminded several times this week of the conversation that Jesus had with Martha as He stood outside the tomb of her brother Lazarus. He had arrived too late to save Lazarus. He stands there, and Martha says to Him, Lord, if You'd only been here, if You'd only showed up, we thought we could count on You. If You had only showed up on time, my brother would be alive. And Jesus takes the conversation and says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. It is never too late. It is never too late. It is not too late today to say, Jesus, I need a Savior. And then lastly, what brings me to that point of commitment and entrusting Him is that not only do I believe, but then I act upon that belief. Phil referred to that this morning when he said that the next thing he knew, he was standing there at the altar. There was a response to the realization that I need a Savior. There was something that was done to say, I believe. Ephesians 2, verse 8, Paul said, for by grace you have been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Paul said this in Romans 10, 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. What do I have to do? Do I have to join the church? Do I have to sign a card? Do I have to change the way I dress? Do I have to, you know, shave my head like the pastor? No, thank God, you don't. There's only one thing. It's acting upon what you're believing in your heart. Jesus, I need a Savior. And I'm asking you to be that Savior. To forgive me of my sins. To come into my heart. I commit. I believe. I entrust my life for you. For you see, what God did in sending His only begotten Son and what Jesus did by hanging and dying on that cross is totally irrelevant if you fail to act upon it. It was a wasted act of love. It was a wasted life. It was a wasted death if you fail to act upon it. If you fail to take that step, if you fail to entrust and commit yourself to Jesus Christ. So the questions I close with today are this, or these. Have you taken that step? Have you entrusted your life to Christ? Have you committed your life to Him? Have you acknowledged that I need a Savior? That my own works, my own activities are not enough? That Jesus is the Savior that I need, and acting upon that, believing and receiving Christ as your Savior. We're preparing our hearts in just a few moments to come to this table and to receive the elements of communion, the bread that represents His broken body, the cup that represents His shed blood, the act of His crucifixion, the symbols that represent what Jesus went through so that you and I could have a Savior. But before we do, we're going to pray a prayer together, and in that prayer, you're going to have the opportunity to ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, to believe, to entrust, to commit your life to Him. And after we've prayed that prayer and after the communion service is over and we're standing there greeting people as they leave, if today was the day in which you said, I entrusted my life to Christ, I would love for you to share that with me so that I can rejoice with you in the choice that you made today. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You that You looked down upon earth and recognized that we needed a Savior, that all of our religious activity was not enough, and that You, Father, sent Jesus to be that Savior so that we could believe in Him, we could commit, entrust our lives to Him, and have a relationship with You restored. And so today, Father, I'm believing that as we, in just a few moments, pray this prayer of confession and reception of Your Son, Jesus, that, Lord, there will be those here today who say, today's the day for me. This isn't just an exercise I'm going to go through so that I fit in with everyone else. Today's the day that I commit in trust and declare that I believe that Jesus is my Savior. So I'm going to pray a prayer that's just little short phrases, and I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer, and I'm going to ask you not pray it in your mind, but to speak these words out loud. Heavenly Father, I declare today that I need a Savior. My religious works, my good life, are not enough. And I believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for my sins. And so today, as an act of faith, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe that my sins are forgiven, that my heart has been washed, and today I entrust and I commit my life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The ushers are preparing to help usher you down to the altar, and we